Welcome to A.T. Stewart and Sons Ministries. I am glad to welcome my youngest son to our ministry team. Josh is one of the teaching pastors at Summit Church in Naples, Florida. Now take your Bibles and let's listen to God's Word together.
If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. My name is Josh Stewart. I'm one of the pastors here, and I have a great privilege to be able to communicate God's Word with you today. If you don't have a Bible, we encourage you to raise your hand. We have an ushers who can provide a Bible for you. We don't do that to embarrass anybody or bring shame. We know some people forget Bibles. Some people don't have Bibles, and we love God's Word here at Summit Church. We stand on it. We preach it. We proclaim it. We apply it to our lives, and we want you to be able to have God's Word in front of you as we do that this morning. We're continuing in our Healthy Church series, and we're walking through what it looks like for us to be a healthy church. And today, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12, all the way down to verse 26. So let's read that together before we dive into God's Word. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we're all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. For the whole body were an eye, where were the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that we think less honor, we would bestow the greater honor. And our presentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Before diving into that passage, just open up in a word of prayer. Lord, we are so thankful for today. We're so thankful for your breath that you've put into our lungs. And we pray, Lord, that our response would be praise to your great and awesome name. We thank you that you're a God that is strong and mighty, but also a God that is personable to your people. That you're a God that forms the galaxies by the word of your mouth, and you're a God that comes and desires to know each one of us intimately, to speak into our lives, to love us and to lead us and to guide us. What an amazing God that you are. And thank you today, Lord, that we can come and dive into your word given to us for our benefit and your glory. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask and we pray and we plead that you would move among your people today, that you would capture our hearts for your glory, that you would move us to love you and to love others. We're so thankful, Lord, that we are not the only church here in Naples, in the Bonita area, but you have other churches, Lord, that you are using for your glory and for the advancement of your kingdom. We pray that you would bless every single one of those churches this morning. We pray that you would work in their hearts in a mighty way, that their members, Lord, would go and do great things for you. We pray, Lord, for churches like Turning Point and Bonita. We pray for churches like Center Point, for Covenant Church, for Compass Bible, and the many other churches, Lord, in this area that are preaching Christ crucified. Bless their churches today. And we pray, Lord, as we dive into your word, Lord, I am an imperfect vessel. I have many flaws and many weaknesses, Lord. So I did not come here to stand strong on my own, Lord, but you are strong for me. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would work today for your people, and that we will leave today looking more like Jesus and loving you more with our lives. We pray this in the awesome, amazing, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. And so back when I was in seminary, My wife and I were invited by my mother-in-law to go to her childhood friend's house to celebrate the new year. And so it was in Clarksville, Tennessee, is where she invited us to go. We were in Louisville, Kentucky at the time. Weren't too far away from Clarksville, Tennessee. We didn't have any plans for the new year. So we said, yeah, that'd be great. Why don't we go? That'd be a lot of fun. Went to Clarksville. It's a great city. If you haven't been there before, I would highly encourage you to check it out. But we get there, and we show up to the house, and it actually wasn't a small get-together. What we were walking into was this massive, mega family reunion of these people that traveled from all over the country to come and see each other. And I barely knew anybody there. I met like my mother-in-law's friend like once or twice. And so I show up to this massive family reunion, and it was so awkward, like extremely awkward. So I show up there, and I have zero connection to these people, right? Like there is nothing that unites us or connects us. So I get there, and like people are trying to place me, right? Like I'm not like some cousin that they haven't seen in a while. Like I'm like, so they're coming in, they're like, well, like, which family are you with? And I'm like, I'm not with anybody, you know, like, so like, why are you here? It's like, my mother-in-law knows somebody. Like, it was so awkward because nothing united me to these people, right? Nothing connected me to them. And not only that, but I also feel like I didn't have a place, like I was kind of useless, right? So when you get together with your family, everybody kind of shifts to their roles, right? You have people who are always catching up and talking about the good times, right? You have the people who are in the kitchen who are cooking and getting the meals ready. You have people who are watching the kids. And like I was stuck there, had no place to be, right? I was useless. And I remember I ended up doing was sitting in a corner and talking to some man who I have no idea what his name was about Cincinnati Bengal football. Like, that's how bad this got, right? Like, I'm, like, talking about the worst team in football, and we're trying to discuss here, like, different parts of the team. It was so awkward. I remember getting in the car and saying to Maggie, I never want to do that again, right? Like, we'll be in Louisville for a few more years. We're not coming back to this, right? And so, man, it was just such an awkward and just a challenging time. Maybe you've never been to another person's family reunion, which I would encourage you not to do that. But there's probably been moments in your life that you've done something that you just seem kind of out of place. You seem like maybe that you didn't belong or that you weren't connected to the people, right? Maybe you were hanging out with a good friend of yours and they went and they connected with childhood friends and they're catching up on good times. They have this connection that unifies them and you just kind of felt like the third wheel because you didn't really know anybody. Or maybe you took a job or you went on a work retreat one time and you kind of feel like that you were useless. Like, what is the purpose of me being here? Like, I feel like I bring no value to this conference or no value to this team. All of us in this room, in one way or another, for one degree or another, have had a time in our lives that we don't feel we're unified or connected to people. A time in our lives that we don't feel like we have much purpose or value. And what Paul is doing here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is he wants to tell us that the local church and the church body is a place that those things shouldn't be true. That the local body is a place that you and I can come and that we can be unified under a common Savior who has redeemed us. And it's a place that we all can bring various gifts and abilities to this local church in order to build it up, to care for one another, and bring our great Savior much glory and fame. And so what we're going to talk about today, kind of the big idea of the message is this, is that a healthy church, which we desire to be here at Summit, is a healthy church is a diverse yet unified body that cares for each other. And here at Summit Church, we want to be a healthy church that is unified, yet diverse, and that we care for one another. And so what we're going to do is we're going to process through all three of those today. That's what the message is going to be. We're going to see how we're called to be a unified church. We're going to see how we're called to be a church that is diverse and why diversity is a good thing. And we're also going to talk about how we can care for one another. And so we're here today. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and what the Apostle Paul is talking about is the spiritual gifts that God has given to each believer. And that these spiritual gifts are different and diverse, but they're good for the church. They're a good thing for us to have. We can be unified in our spiritual gift. We can be unified in our mission, and we can use the various gifts that God has given us in order to move forward. And so in later, coming on the next coming weeks, we're going to talk specifically more about the spiritual gifts and how they play out. But today we're going to talk a little more in general about the spiritual gifts and our posture towards them, and we should embrace them and we should use them for God's glory. And so the first thing we're going to see here is our first point is that healthy church is supposed to be diverse yet unified. So we're going to see that we are called to be a unified body. Let's read verses 12 and 13 once again. It says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. From one spirit, we're all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. And all were made to drink of one spirit. And so before getting into the diversity that we see here within the church and the spiritual gifts, Paul wants to make it clear to the people that we are a unified body. He mentions that just like your physical body has many members, right? You have hands, you have feet, you have ears, you have eyes. You have many members, and that's a good thing. But your body, your physical body, even though there's many members, it is still one, right? Like these are Josh Stewart's hands, Josh Stewart's nose, Josh Stewart's feet. Like we are one body that is unified. And my body, even though it has many parts, is unified in what it's doing, right? It's trying to, you know, help Josh. It's trying to accomplish what I want to accomplish. It is a unified body, even though there's many parts. And what the Apostle Paul says, he wants to remind the church that you guys have various gifts here. But before we get into the various gifts and the beauty of diversity, let's all be reminded that we're one body. Let's all be reminded that we are on one mission together. In order to unify us, and what unifies us, for all those who accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, what unifies us, and Michael talked about this earlier, is the Holy Spirit. What Paul is saying is for all those who have trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior has come into the church of God, that you have been unified. That Holy Spirit comes, right? You've been baptized into the same Holy Spirit. There's not different Holy Spirits. There's one Holy Spirit that comes and dwells in everyone who trusts in Christ. And all of us can drink from that same Holy Spirit that then unifies us. And that's the beauty of the Christian life. That's the beauty of what God has done for us, is that you and I can be united to God, but also be united to one another. And so what the gospel tells us, what the Bible tells us, is that you and I, because of our sins, are far away from God. Well, we see that in Genesis, that when Adam and Eve sinned against God, that they were removed from the Garden of Eden. They're asked to leave because a holy God cannot dwell with imperfect beings. He's a perfect God. And because he's a perfect God, when you sin against a perfect God, you deserve an eternal punishment because he's an eternal God. And so Adam and Eve were removed from the Garden of Eden, away from the presence of God. And you and I, when we sin against God, we are then removed from the presence of God, separated from him, and we deserve his wrath and the punishment for the sins that we have committed against him. But then we have the beauty of the gospel, right? We have the saving work of Jesus. That when we were helpless and there was nothing that we could do to get a relationship with God, right? There's nothing we could do to avoid his punishment, that Christ came. And Christ did what you and I could not do. He lived the perfect life that you and I were called to live. And then, even though he was perfect and didn't deserve it, because we deserve punishment and sin and death and separation from God, on the cross, Christ experienced that for you and me. That he experienced God's holy wrath, that he experienced the separation from God. He experienced the punishment that you and I deserve. He was our great substitute so that we wouldn't have to experience it. And then he died for our sins, but he didn't stay dead. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, conquering death, conquering sin, conquering the enemy, and he is risen. And you and I, the Bible says, all those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. When we trust that Jesus is who he says he is, that he lived the perfect life we couldn't live, he died for our sins, he rose from the dead, we enter into a relationship with God. Our sins are forgiven. We no longer have to be punished. We are reconciled to God, and we are united with him because of the saving work of Jesus. Not our own good works, but the work of Christ unites us. And then the Bible says the Holy Spirit, the helper, has come and he lives within us. The Holy Spirit, he reveals truth to us. He leads us and guides us in all of godliness. And then he also, as Apostle Paul reminds us, unites us to one another. And that's the beauty of the gospel. And Paul talks about it here. He says, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Greek, slave or free. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter your culture. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your skin color. It doesn't matter your socioeconomic status. That all those things, anyone in those categories, can all accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that you're unified with him in the body when we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That was so cool when you go overseas or go to other parts of the country and you meet people you've never met before, but they know Jesus, right? And this instant connection, yeah, like we're family. We're united because Jesus Christ has united us. We drink of the same Spirit. We've been baptized in the same truth of the Holy Spirit. And so before we move any farther in this, before we celebrate diversity, we need to remember that we are unified in Christ to God, but we're also unified with one another. And so the challenge we have is first, like, have you ever accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Like, have you ever taken the step to trust him? That's the first step. That's the first decision that we have to make, is to know Jesus and trust him as your Lord and Savior. If you haven't done that, we would love to talk to you about that afterwards. Talk to the person that brought you today. Talk to one of our deacons or people who have name tags on. We'd love to talk to you about that. And if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, are you living in unity with the believers around you? Are you stepping in and caring for them and loving them and being unified together? Maybe if they look differently than you, maybe they're different stages of life than you are, maybe they come from different backgrounds. The beauty of the gospel is all of us are unified in Christ. So how are you stepping into unity here in the local church? But maybe you're someone who's accepted Christ and, man, you have written off the church. You've stepped away from it because your experience within a church has not been something that has been unified. It's not been something that you feel like that you've been brought in and loved and cared for. And if that's you today, if you're kind of trying to live solo, like, and I'm sorry that you've had a bad experience with the church. I'm sorry that you've been wounded or hurt by other churches. But what we desire here at Summit is we're not a church that's going to be perfect. We're not a church that's always going to do things correctly, right? We do, even though we try our best, but we do want to be a church that we hope that you can come and that you can feel like that we're united in Christ. If you've accepted Christ, that you have a place here and a place that we can celebrate God together. We were meant to live together. We're going to see in just a moment how important interdependency is within the church. We weren't meant to live silo lives as Christians. We were meant to live in community as part of the body. So our encouragement to everyone is get plugged into a local church and allow God to allow you to be unified with other believers. And so the first thing we see here is that we are called to be a unified body. And even though we're called to be a unified body, we celebrate that. We also are a diverse body. Let's read verses 14 down to the first part of verse 24. So Paul goes on to say, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. Or the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. For if all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our presentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which are more presentable parts do not require." So we see here the beauty of diversity within the church. And what Paul does here is he reminds them, yes, a body is unified, right? Like we're unified under Christ on mission to know Christ and make him known. That's the mission that we have here. We're a unified body that are on mission to know Christ more deeply together. And to tell the lost world around us their need for a Savior. So we're unified together, on mission together to know Christ and make him known. But we also have different parts and different gifts that God has given to each one of us. And Paul reminds them that diversity within the church is very